Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, in order to break down all this media stuff that someone Fox the other day, of course, he's the author of Media Madness. His book's still out there. We're honored to have him in Philadelphia. And then your Sunday morning fix, Media Buzz, with Howard Kurtz from Fox News Channel. He joins us on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs call-in line on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Howard, good to talk with you again.
Hey, Dom. It was great to be with you in Bucks County.
Well, you were on quite a roll that night. It was really, really humorous, really interesting stuff. What was your overall? I gave you a few things there that are offensive. I don't know if you've addressed the Morning Joe cut of this, of where this goes, but what's your take on the media and how they're playing out what we've seen in Gaza?
Falling into a predictable trap in which everything is about blaming Israel. But let me start with Jared and particularly Ivanka. I'm sure you've talked about this pathetic New York Daily News cover yesterday.
Yes.
We had the president's daughter, and then this little picture of the violence in Gaza, and I guess the headline was Daddy's Little Ghoul.
Yes.
So Ivanka Trump, who went over there with her husband Jared, the two highest-ranking Jewish officials in the White House, makes sense that they would be there at the
Mnuchin.
Right. Well, good point. But people don't talk about Steve Mnuchin. They love to beat up on Jared and Ivanka, and it's like, why were they there, and why were they smiling? And well, they were there on a diplomatic mission, meeting with Bibi Netanyahu to dedicate the embassy. Now, look, President Trump's decision, largely symbolic, to slap a plaque on a building already in Jerusalem, say this is the new embassy, is controversial. It's fine for the media to debate that, and clearly it infuriated many Palestinians. But to personalize it and make it like Ivanka is there just as some kind of dilettante, I just found really offensive.
Yeah, and the daddy's little ghoul, you know, they're playing with daddy's little girl, too, and that supposition of Trump wanting to date the daughter and the whole thing. They're bringing that up. They were clever with that. Howard, the thing that gets me, too, is I'm not sure, you're a better judge, some of the media are a bit incompetent, too. I knew, and a lot of people maybe should know, that annually they do stuff like this, the Day of Catastrophe, they called apparently, from Arafat, on the celebration of another anniversary of Israel. Now, I'm not saying that the embassy didn't trigger this to another level, but this is part of the type of stuff that goes on. This is just on a more massive level.
Right, and maybe it's on steroids because you know, it's a Trump administration policy as opposed to in past administrations. But, you know, it's fine to debate the Israeli military's response. It should have been more calibrated. Okay, that's fine. But what so much that either gets left out or minimized in the reporting on this are things like Hamas, through loudspeakers and other methods, we're encouraging people to charge the fence. We're saying that women should get closer to the fence because they would make the most sympathetic victims, that Hamas, you know, people use the shorthand, unarmed protesters. Well, some of them had burning tires, incendiary kites, and, you know, explosive devices, and Israel is entitled to defend itself. And the bottom line here is, we've seen this from Hamas many, many times, is that, you know, it sounds horrible to say it, but Hamas wants casualties. They do this for propagandistic reasons, because if Israel ends up shooting people who are charging the border fence, and by the way, another fact that was not really emphasized was that Israel had dropped leaflets in the area urging people to stay away, knowing there was the potential for a violent clash, then Hamas gets, you know, other countries around the world condemn Israel. The UN inevitably tries to condemn Israel, and I just think there are two sides to this. Hamas orchestrated this confrontation. It's horrible if there was this loss of life, but I think too much of that is left. And then you see these headlines, like in the New York Times, I have it right here, Israelis killed dozens in Gaza, as if they just decided to do that one day.
Yeah, and I heard this morning, and this is unconfirmed, but there seems to be a lot of evidence that Israel then did offer trucks of medical aid to go into Gaza, and they were rejected.
Mm-hmm.
That, and this is the thing that gets in the way of any progress. It goes back to Golda Meir saying it, and I would mangle the quote. that anytime they get closer to some rapprochement of something, there are significant numbers of Hamas sympathizers and others, whatever they may be, who ratchet things up for the sole purpose of scuttling it. They don't want significant numbers of people there or enough that are armed, any kind of settlement, because that's they're about Israel not being there. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Look, the Mideast is a mess and has been for decades. I'm just trying to emphasize that I think there was a lot of knee-jerk media coverage that blamed Israel without really looking at the other side. And some of this, forget about the headlines, you know, is just in the pictures. You know, you had the split-screen approach on television because you had Netanyahu and Kushner and Ivanka speaking, and then on the other side you had, you know, people being shot at or charged or, you know, throwing bombs and that sort of thing. And so those are the pictures that Hamas wanted in order to make Israel look like a military oppressor. Another fact that's left out is that Israel, 13 years ago, voluntarily pulled out of the Gaza Strip, left it to Hamas, saying, we're not going to be the military occupier here, you run it, but we're just going to put up this fence to protect our people.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple thing. So media buzz this Sunday, then. Is this one area you'll be getting into?
We're certainly going to talk about this. Also going to talk about, and this is a big theme in my book, Media Madness, and you and I talked about it, is this continuing wave of self-destructive leaks from this White House. You know, the latest wave having to do with the aide who hasn't apologized over the McCain joke or crack. But now the president, who had been saying, you know, a lot of these sources are made up. These anonymous sources, they don't exist. Well, as you know, and I'm sure you've talked about, tweeting the other day that those who are leaking from within his White House or in his orbit are traitors and cowards. And I don't blame him for being ticked off, because they are pursuing their own petty agendas and often undermining him or undercutting him without having the gumption to have their names attached. But that does acknowledge that they exist. And I think the White House is looking to fire a couple of them, but it's very hard to determine who it is that is spilling these the stuff to reporters.
Or it's a tremendous number. And the argument, Howard, that came out, I think, is that, hey, if you don't, they're going to come after you, like Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying, we got to stop these leaks. That gets leaked.
Yeah, she has a meeting on the leaks. She says it'll be disgusting, and that gets leaked in about five minutes. And you also see it with, you know, when John Kelly came in as chief of staff, he was for a while able to crack down on a lot of these leaks. But now that he's lost influence, a lot of the leaking is aimed at him, the different embarrassing anecdotes. So it's a kind of an informational warfare. And, you know, look, as a journalist, I like to get stuff off the record. But I think too often journalists don't consider or share with readers and viewers, Dom, the fact that the people pushing this stuff anonymously have their own agendas, trying to maybe knock somebody out of the White House or stop a policy or reverse a policy or just make the boss look bad. And frankly, you know, I'd be pretty ticked off as well if people who work for me were spreading stuff to reporters without having the courage, really, to have their names attached.
Well,
all
this,
anonymous.
Does this seem like this is a very, very leaky White House then versus others you've covered?
This is the leakiest White House by an order of magnitude in modern history. All White Houses leak to some extent. But this is just off the charts.
Well, it must be multiple people then. It can't be one, because they would get them. I mean, multiple big-time leakers, they would nail the biggest leaker here if possible.
Well, in their early months of the administration, you know, you had Steve Bannon, Jared and Ivanka, Reince Priebus, all pointing fingers at each other. And then now that many of them are gone, and again, Kelly came in, but now you have other people. And, you know, Sean Spicer tried to crack down on leaks. He asked for everybody's phone in the meeting to see who was calling reporters. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is trying. Of course, she's now the target of the press and people calling her a liar and so forth. The truth is, the administration sometimes send her out without full information, and then, you know, she gets caught in the crossfire.
Absolutely. Well, I enjoy the show, as you know, from the Barco Lounger, Media Buzz at the Barco Lounger, every Sunday with you. And thank you, Philadelphia. That was a great kickoff to Speaker Series this year. And the book, Media Madness, still available, and a lot of the themes still playing out right in front of us.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.